Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we'll endeavor to give you a message of truth. We have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs and MP3 files. You'll find Bible videos, 30 minutes in length on various subjects. And you will also find many other Bible-related materials that can help you in your study of God's Word. We also have some information there about us. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any and all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to show you your need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. This morning, we're going to begin a short study together of a very needful subject. I want to talk to you for the next few weeks about the subject of the message of the Bible. In Genesis chapter 1, in verse 26, then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Genesis 1, verse 26. We are introduced in the very beginning to the first two people who were created on the earth, Adam and Eve. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, God gave them a very simple law. He said, "And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." In Genesis 2, 16 and 17, God gave a law. He also gave the consequences if this law were to be broken. Unfortunately, man did not listen, and man yielded to temptation, and sin was born. And then as we go through the Bible, we see the message of the prophets. The message of the prophets was, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord," in Isaiah 1 and verse 18. In Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse number 5, it says, "As for them, whether they hear, whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them." Notice, he was sending Ezekiel to a rebellious people. Those were his people. And yet, God chose them to be the nation that he would bring a savior into the world. But unfortunately, that nation did not obey God, did not keep the covenant, did not do the things that they were asked to do by God. And that brought destruction upon them later on in the history, as we can see it unfold in the Bible. And then as we get past the prophets, we're introduced into the New Testament. And in the New Testament, we are introduced to the gospel of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3 through 5, the Bible says, "How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets." You notice in our passage that when we read, we can understand the mysteries and the revelation of God. We can come to know God in a very special way. And we can come to begin to understand the person of God, what he expects of us, and what he demands of us, and what he has done for mankind throughout the world. But in order for it to be a benefit to us, for it to be something that will be beneficial in our lives, we must not just understand it, but we must obey it. In John chapter 7, in verse 16 and 17, John chapter 7, verse number 16 and 17, Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but he who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. And so men were able to come to an understanding of the message of the gospel. In Ephesians 5, verse 17, the Bible says, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and verse number 15, we are instructed by the Apostle Paul that we need to study. It says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so we must not just understand it, but we must obey it. But unfortunately, many people have a lot of misconceptions about what the Bible is. It may be helpful to us at this point to talk about what the Bible is not, so we don't have any misunderstanding. Number one, the Bible is not a household ornament. It's not the good old book. It's not just one book among many books. And it's not something to decorate your house. Number two, it's not a magic charm. It's not going to keep evil away from you. It's not going to keep bad things from happening to you. It's not a panic button that we turn to when we don't know what else to do. When we tried everything else, and when all else has failed, then we turn to the Bible. That's not the use of it either. It can be a comfort for death. In Psalms chapter 23, one of the most poetic psalms and one of the more comforting psalms, can be very helpful to those who have lost loved ones. It is not a political handbook. It has no political viewpoint. It has no political ideology. And it's not an American symbol like the U.S. flag. It is not a symbol. It is a book of messages. It is a book among many books. And the Bible is not a basis for diverse creeds. It's not a book that you can take it and leave it. Or you can rethink it or amend it or alter it in any way that you want to in order to come out with the effect that you want. That's not what the Bible's for. It's not a restricted to licensed clergy. Some people will tell you the only people that can understand the Bible are those that have years and years of training and discipline in understanding its deep thought. That is a myth. That is a lie. It is not just for a selected few. It's a reservoir for the Ten Commandments so everyone can be saved. No, the Ten Commandments had a place. They were part of the old law. They were the structure of the old law, but they are not an end of a means to itself. Others say it's just one book among many. That, too, is inaccurate. It is the book. It is not one book among many. It is the only book written by God, the only book that reveals the mind of God. It's a keepsake to pass down to our children. That might be a really nice thought, but that's not the correct use of the Bible either. Those things will not bring you the benefit that God left his word to mankind. This word has to be used, has to be applied, has to be understood, and it has to be obeyed in order for it to be beneficial to men. But what is the basic message of the Bible? What is the underlying message that the Bible is trying to tell us? Well, I really think that we can sum that up in 3 points. Number one is the Bible shows that we need a Savior. Why? Because of sin. In Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve fell to temptation and committed the first sin. And that led to the sin that would be introduced in the world that would bring much pain and misery to the whole world. Romans 3 and verse 23, it says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In 1 John 1 and verse 8, it says, we lie if we say we have no sin and the truth is not in us. Jeremiah told us, as one of God's prophets, that is not a man who walketh to direct his own step. And then the wise man Solomon wrote in Proverbs 14, 12, there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end ends in death. And then Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20, sin is not inherited. Sin is a choice. Sin is something that's not passed down from one generation to another. Sin is not something that was passed down by Adam to all posterity. That's a false doctrine. Sin is not inherited, it is a choice. It is a choice between doing the right thing or doing the wrong thing. And in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2, and also in Romans 6, 23, the Bible says that sin breaks fellowship with God, it separates man from God, and in the end, it will bring forth death. And so what the Bible tells us is that we need a Savior, and that Savior is going to be Jesus Christ. What is the message of the Old Testament? The message of the Old Testament is that a Savior is coming. In Genesis chapter 11, we are introduced to the patriarch Abraham. And in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 7, God made three promises to the great patriarch Abraham. He promised that through his seed, a nation would be born. He promised that he would give that nation a land, a home of their own. And through his seed, the descendants of Abraham, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Those three promises given to Abraham are a capsule view of what the Bible is all about. The land and nation promise were fulfilled under the Old Testament in the Old Covenant. The seed promise was realized and fulfilled in Christ in the coming of the New Covenant. Now, in the Bible, there are three dispensations of time. There is a patriarchal age that lasted for 2,500 years that began with the creation and would last to the giving of the law of Moses on Mount Sinai in Exodus 20. And then we have the law after it was given, usher in the Mosaic period that lasted from that time, the law was given, until the death of Christ upon the cross, some 1,500 years. And then you have the Gospel Age that began on the day of Pentecost. And that age lasted until the end of time. And so that age is 2,000 years and continuing. And so what we have three dispensations of time: the patriarchal, the Mosaic, and the Gospel Age. Each of them had their own law. Each of them had their own requirements. The law, the patriarchal law, was where God talked directly to man. In the law of the Mosaic period, God talked to men through a codified law that was given to the nation of Israel and was written down with rules and regulations and laws and precepts that they were required to keep. And then when we get to the New Testament, that law was nailed to the cross, Colossians 2, verse 14. And after that law was nailed to the cross, that enacted a new dispensation of time, the Gospel Age, or sometimes called the Christian Age. And this is the age that began on the day of Pentecost and will last to the end of time. Now, each one of those groups, the patriarchal, the Mosaic, and the Christian Age, each have people who lived in them and will be judged according to the law by which they lived under and that they were required to keep. But those are the only three dispensations of time. That's important for us to remember because we are living in the last days. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2. There will not be another dispensation of time, not on earth, not anywhere, only in eternity. So there's only three periods, and we are living in the Gospel Age. We'll continue this next week, Lord willing. Thank you for listening today. Have a blessed day, and hope.